Good afternoon. Welcome to Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. We begin with Crop Watch, made possible by Crary Industries, O'Toole Seed, and by the good folks at Ag Country Farm Credit Services. And we're on day number one of Boots 2020. I'm on the road with Tommy Grisafi from Advanced Trading, taking a look at what's going on as far as the crop situation across the region. And our first stop of the day is in the Warren, Minnesota area. Joe Pierce is with us, and you got some good news. You got all your crops in the ground at this point.
Yeah, we did. We finished last night, the last soybean field, and it feels good to have it all in the ground.
It's got to. Now you go right into spraying, huh?
Yep, that's what we're doing today, getting the sprayers ready and time to start.
So tell me what crops you grow here and how did the spring go for you?
We had sugar beets, wheat, corn, and soybeans. It went okay. We started planting May 7th. And finished June 1st. The corn ground was a little tough. We combined 1,200 acres in March. And then the sugar beets we didn't dig last fall. That was a issue. But we got that dried out and got a little window here, and everything looks good. And it's in.
So you're surprised how the corn ground turned out, considering the kind of harvest you had?
Yeah, we were a little concerned, and we'd never left corn before, but it worked out here in this area. Other parts, not so much.
You talk about spraying. What's the weed situation look like out there?
They're growing fast. 90 degrees yesterday, that pushes things along. So we'll be busy. Once we start spraying, it seems like you never stop.
We move now to CHS Ag Services. Ryan Anderson with us, general manager here. And Ryan, give us an update. What are you seeing as far as planting progress in this region?
Yeah, it feels like May was somewhat of a blur, but it was one heck of a month. We were really fortunate for most of our trade area. We needed a fairly dry month, and we were really fortunate to get that. So right now we're just, we're wrapping up seeding. I would say we're 90% plus done in most of our trade area, and we'll have spray season coming upon us here shortly.
So do you see any difference as far as acreage this year? Did we see particular what happened with corn acres?
Yeah, corn acres are definitely down. It's probably, 50% or greater, which is expected. But, for us, we're just happy that we got the acres seeded. What we went through last fall, and, we had that snowstorm early April again, and to be sitting here, June 2nd and say we're 90-95% seeded, I don't know that we really care what the acre is. We're just happy that there's something in the ground and that these growers were able to accomplish it.
Is there much PP in the area?
Very little. Like I said, I think we'll be close to 95% seeded. Even the flood ground, we had that nasty flood, but it was an early flood. So we were going on a lot of that flood ground by May 20th, let's say. And again, extremely fortunate to not have any bad rain. We're one bad rainfall away from this being a train wreck, and we were just able to get by with minimal rainfall, and here we are.
We segue right into spraying season, as you mentioned. With this heat, these weeds are going to take off right away as well.
Yeah, we could probably use a little bit of rain in most of our trade area. It's crazy to say that after, asking for a dry May, but there's some crop that definitely got seeded into, dry on top, but pretty gummy underneath, and we need to close up some of those seed rows, and if we could get a half inch to an inch of rain, I think would do a lot of good before we start throwing some herbicides and insecticides on it. But I would say by end of the week, next week, there'll be a lot of small grains that get sprayed, and I know there's already been a lot of guys covering some sugar beet acres.
We move now to the North Dakota side of the border, over to Warsaw, and we're visiting with Tony Goditis. And Tony, give us an update. How are you shaping up as far as getting seed in the ground?
Well, it's been a challenge from the start. We got started about May 2nd, which is probably an average start date for us. Started going with some sugar beets and some grain on the first fields, but it was slow. Fields came around pretty slow, probably only getting quarter here, quarter there. Some days waiting a day or two in between just for everything to kind of dry out. Had to massage a couple fields to get them to come around a little quicker than they probably should have. Man, we're just wrapping up today. So it's been about a month getting everything in, and it shouldn't take that long. And even considering we didn't have any major rain events, I think we've only had probably 70 hundredths of rain so far, which is probably one of the lowest amounts we've had in May. So we could use a rain. We're going to finish seeding today, and everything that's in looks pretty decent. The beet stand counts are good. The wheat's coming up, looks nice. We have some soybeans on the ground. They look good already, and edibles will be. They just got in this week. That's the last crop we plant. So looking at the forecast, looks like there's some rain coming here. Pretty hoping that stays true, and that'll make us look like we did a good job, you know, kind of fix all the problems we had out there.
Hear a few yells here. Yeah. Go right into spraying season here?
Yeah, we've already hit a few beet fields. Maybe some of the soybeans we no-tilled in, obviously without the tillage. There's some more weeds growing out there. But, yeah, we've already got recs to go and spray the beet fields and just keep moving through. So we got two sprayers, ground rigs here. We get them going and spend the rest of the summer in the sprayer. So we could use a rain. We're going to finish seeding today, and everything that's in looks pretty decent. The beet stand counts are good. The wheat's coming up, looks nice. We have some soybeans on the ground. They look good already. And edibles will be, they just got in this week. That's the last crop we plant. So looking at the forecast, looks like there's some rain coming here. Pretty hoping that stays true, and that'll make us look like we did a good job, you know, kind of fix all the problems we had out there.
That's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Crary Industries, O'Toole Seed, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Once again, we're boots on the ground. I'm with Tommy Grisafi from Advanced Trading. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on as far as planting progress, PP, and much more over the next few days for the balance of this week. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Don Wick.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. There's a slight increase in farmer sentiment in the May Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. According to Purdue University, awareness of the coronavirus food assistance program may have helped. In that May survey, more than 70% of respondents indicated they were very worried or fairly worried about the impact of the coronavirus on their farm's profitability, a 3% increase from the April survey. When it comes to financial positions for the next year, more than 60% of respondents say they expect farmers' equity positions to decline.
A new Congressional Budget Office report says it could take nearly 10 years for the U.S. economy to recover from the coronavirus pandemic and the related shutdowns. The CBO lowered its 10-year forecast by nearly $16 trillion since January.
The South Dakota Corn Growers Association is hosting a conference call with Farm Service Agency Administrator Richard Fordyce and South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. South Dakota Corn Executive Director Lisa Richardson says Fordyce will address the implementation of the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program.
It's an opportunity for our membership to ask directly to the administrator of the FSA and DC questions they may have regarding the current program that was released about a week ago.
This call will take place tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 p.m. You can contact South Dakota Corn for more details about the call.
The Minnesota Agriculture Department is considering other ways to help farmers and ranchers through the coronavirus pandemic. Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson says they want to identify gaps in the coronavirus food assistance program.
We have CARES dollars, but everybody's really looking at those CARES dollars. And so we're trying to see if there's payments for certain commodities, or there's maybe we want to continue to build out our beef sector. We want to help some of our value-added companies, things that maybe are missing a gap but would have a bigger impact. Maybe it's our ethanol plants in Minnesota that's important to keep them running. So we're just kind of looking at all of the options.
While Minnesota's packing plant capacity has increased in the last few weeks, Minnesota Pork Producers Association CEO David Preisler says it's going to be difficult for the state's pork industry moving forward. Minnesota's pork packing plants are currently running up to 80% capacity.
You know, because the easier ones have kind of been picked up. You know, so unfortunately at 80%, if it stays there for very long, we'll still be backing pigs up, and that's problematic. And so, you know, we still have got, you know, hogs that will need to be euthanized. We do think that it will be a number that will maybe be less than what we thought maybe a month ago because of basically animals being held and then also some different channels of marketing that occurred that were outside of the normal marketing chain.
More than 250,000 head of market-weight hogs have been euthanized in Minnesota. Weaning hogs are also being euthanized, but that number's hard to track. Chrysler says assistance is being considered at the state level to help.
You know, I think it's also, you know, the great unknown that producers have out there is, you know, if there's going to be any sort of support for financially for people that have to put pigs down. And without knowing that answer at this point in time, it's really difficult for them to really make that decision because then you're making a decision, you know, to get zero revenue and to also have the cost of euthanizing and properly disposing of the carcass. And so that really adds insult to injury. And so that's why I think you do have some folks that are just waiting to see if there are, you know, some things that would come along in order to financially help.
There will likely be a new normal for agriculture moving forward. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Bill Weber said this morning in a Minnesota AgriGrowth webinar that advanced planning will be needed to prepare for future food chain disruptions.
I never thought, quite frankly, that at this stage, in light of where we were a month, 6 weeks ago, that we would be, you know, at the level of production that we are in many of these plants right now. And I commend them for continuing to work towards ensuring the safety of their workers, as well as continuing the production. You know, the $11 million of the COVID money, that was a hard fought for item, quite frankly.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The 91st North Dakota FFA Convention continues today. Here's North Dakota FFA State Secretary Christina Bingham.
Our sessions will be recognizing members from across the state in different areas that they have excelled at. So we have one session focused on state degree and State Star recognition.
That virtual session is happening this afternoon, and during this year's convention, only two Star Award areas will be recognized, Star Farmer and the Star in Ag Placement. More details will be known on those winners at about 2 o'clock today. Sessions will be streamed on the North Dakota FFA Association's Facebook page and YouTube channel. Coverage is presented by the North Dakota Farmers Union, North Dakota Corn Council, Nutrien Ag Solutions, Farm Credit Services of Mandan, NDFB, Ag Country, Farm Credit Services, and Corteva Agriscience.
Farmers are being encouraged to watch for surveys from USDA the first 2 weeks of June. The National Ag Statistics Service is gathering information on this season's crop production, grain supplies in storage, and livestock inventories. This information will then be compiled and released on June 25th in the Hogs and Pigs Report and on June 30th in the Acreage and Grain Stocks Report. According to USDA, the data in these reports helps traders, buyers, and others make informed business decisions.
EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler has announced a final rule dealing with the permitting process for energy infrastructure projects. It calls for the timely review of these projects. Wheeler said the Clean Water Act was abused to hold projects hostage.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, July Minneapolis wheat down 3.5 at 517.75. July Chicago wheat down 6.75 at 508.5. July Kansas City wheat down 11.25. July corn up 1 at 324.25. December corn up 2 at 337.75. July beans up 10.25 at 850.75. November beans up 8.25 at 860.5. In livestock markets, June live cattle down $3 at 95.30. August down $2.40. August feeder cattle down $2.65 at 133.47. June lean hogs down $1.47. July up 5 cents. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network. We'll